Welcome to the Westview Church Podcast. Our vision at Westview is creating space for self and community to find rest in Christ. And we're thankful that today you've created space in your day to study God's Word together with us. If you'd like more information about Westview Church, find us on the web at www.westview.org.
I would invite you to listen with me to these words from Romans chapter 6. It says that if we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's stand again as we sing, "Lo, in the grave he lay." Join me in the reading from the Heidelberg Catechism, question and answer number 45. Question: how does Christ's resurrection benefit us? Answer: first, by his resurrection, he has overcome death so that he might make us share in the righteousness he won for us by his death. Second, by his power, we too are already now resurrected to new life. Third, Christ's resurrection is a guarantee of our glorious resurrection. Let's continue to worship with Crown Him with Many Crowns. You may be seated. The passage we'll be referring to and referencing this morning is found in John chapter 20. If you have your Bibles open, or have your Bibles with you, or the app on your phone, you're welcome to look there. But we'll spend a few moments today on this sunrise service reflecting on God's word together. And before we do, would you please pray with me? God, would you give us eyes to see this day? Your word that is before us. Let us have ears that we might hear a message that you are speaking to us. And would you give us hearts to receive what you have for us this day? We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Just curious, anyone here have a week that they would describe as busy, full, stressful, tiring? Anybody? Anybody want to compare notes? And yet, as hectic as I felt, and maybe you felt this week, I would dare guess that it pales in comparison to that of Mary Magdalene's last 48 hours. You know, the Gospels are not clear for us about how much of the passion narrative she was privy to. Was she there at the Last Supper? Was she in Gethsemane when Jesus prayed? Was she there when Jesus was arrested? Did she see firsthand the mockery of a trial? Did she wince when Jesus was flogged and beaten? It's possible that she was at one or maybe all of those events. We just don't know for sure what she witnessed. What we do know is this. She was there when Jesus was crucified on the cross. And she was there at the empty tomb. Now, despite our best efforts, I don't think we can probably fully appreciate the trauma Mary felt as she watched Jesus' beaten body breathe its last. And even though you and I this morning, we come in joyful and celebrating the empty tomb this day, the lack of Jesus' body in the tomb caused Mary even greater heartache. I want you to listen with me to her words as described by John's gospel. She went to the tomb early in the morning. She found the stone removed from the entrance, and she races off to Simon Peter and the beloved disciple. And I want to see if you can hear the emotion in her voice. They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him. And even more, after Simon Peter and the other disciple, they go and investigate the tomb, and they see the linen, and they believe, it says that they go back home, leaving Mary crying. And even in her weeping, she can't remain still. John tells us that as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been. And they ask her why she's crying. And she gives a very similar answer to what she had just given to Simon Peter and John, only a little bit of a difference. See if you notice it. They have taken my Lord away, and I don't know where they have put him. Mary's Easter emotional grief is now fully focused on herself and her troubled heart. She feels ever so alone. And yet, even after saying this, she cannot remain still. She turns out of the tomb and she sees Jesus, although she doesn't recognize him. She rushes up to him, thinking he's the gardener, and Mary insists, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." I don't know what you're picturing in your mind, but the picture in my mind is of a heartbroken, growing ever more frantic moment for Mary, that she's here and she's there and she's everywhere all over the place, desperately looking for Jesus, asking anyone and everyone, where is he? And she continues to look, At least that's how I see it, because she just asked Jesus, where is his body? And in the very next verse, Jesus is going to say something to her, and it tells us that she has to turn back towards Jesus, that she hadn't even waited for a response. Sir, if you have taken him, tell me where he is. And then she goes off and keeps looking. She kept looking again and again. I wonder, is that a little bit how we feel in this moment? We've had monster weeks, even months or even seasons. It's been a lot. More than we could ever care to endure again. And we come to this Easter morning maybe just a little bit frayed at the edges. Perhaps we too have been looking for Jesus. Where is he in the stress at work? Where is he in the relationship that's strained? Where is he in the indecision that has seized us? Where is he in the failing health? Maybe some of us, maybe many of us, can relate to Mary in this moment. And I hope we can relate in one more way, in what I would argue is perhaps the most tender moment of the resurrection story. It's not in the bright white lightning of angels sitting in a tomb. It's not in an earthquake or a peal of thunder. It's not even Jesus showing up in a locked room proclaiming peace over his disciples. It's this. Jesus simply says her name. Mary. And that is what did it for Mary. She recognizes Jesus, and she goes and tells the disciples the good news. I have seen the Lord. I wonder if you could do something for me this morning. I know it's early, so don't fall asleep. But could you close your eyes for me just for a moment? And could you picture in your mind whatever that reality was or is that is before you, whatever is causing heartache and frustration or that anxiety or that hecticness that we feel. And I would invite you to just let the silence of this room become apparent to you. And listen to the voice of Jesus as he says your name. Listen to the risen Savior say your name this morning. He knows you. He loves you. He sees you. He is with you. And so lay down that which you are holding on to. Leave behind the stress that weighs you down. Let go of whatever it is that is causing hurt and heartache. Jesus has overcome it all, and he is here, and he is with you, and today he is calling you by name. Jesus, we claim and we celebrate this morning that you are the risen Lord and Savior. You have defeated death, conquered the grave, and have put an end to guilt and shame once and for all. So we thank you for, even in the midst of all the things that can so easily entangle us, that we can lay these burdens down, knowing that you have overcome this world in all of its fallenness, its brokenness, its pain, its heartache. So as we, like Mary, we who experience and feel so much in these days, help us, like Mary, to be reminded this day that you are risen indeed. And you continue to call each of us by name. Amen. Would you join with me in sharing the words of our faith as we say these affirmation of faith together? We believe in the Jesus who healed and the Jesus who was arrested. We believe in the Jesus who was abused and the Jesus who abused not in return. We believe in the Jesus who is called a traitor and the Jesus who is a peacemaker. We believe in the Jesus who is falsely accused and the Jesus who turned those accusations back on his accusers. We believe in the Jesus who was crucified and the Jesus who forgave his crucifiers. We believe that the Jesus who was buried on Friday is the Christ who arose on Sunday. And because we believe this, we affirm Jesus to be the Christ, Son of the living God, Savior, Liberator, long-awaited Messiah, King of kings and Lord of lords. We will gladly proclaim the day of Christ's resurrection to be the Easter for all generations. Glory to God, our Savior lives. Amen. Let's stand as we sing, Rejoice, the Lord is King. Share our closing blessing together. Just a reminder, right afterwards, we're going to invite you and others to come and join us for a breakfast right across the hall here, and looking forward to fellowship with one another, and then certainly our Easter celebration at 9:30. But would you please share in this closing blessing with me? I am the resurrection and the life, says the Lord. May Christ rising lift your spirits and gladden your hearts. Alleluia. Amen. All those who believe in Christ will never perish. May you pass with Christ from death to life. Alleluia. Amen. Christ has gone to prepare a place for us. May his resurrection bring you all joy and peace in believing so that you may abound in hope. Alleluia. Amen. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Alleluia. Amen. Go in peace.
Thank you for joining us for the Westview Church Podcast. We hope that you are blessed as we studied Scripture together today. We'd love to invite you to our worship service at Westview Church, which takes place at 9:30 on Sunday mornings. May God richly bless your day.